Greetings. This is lesson 10 on the journey through the Word of Yahweh. Let's begin our session with a prayer to our Heavenly Father. Well, Adonai Yahweh, we praise you for this day. We thank you for your guidance. And we just bow humbly before you and submit ourselves to your will. And it's not our will that we want to do, but your will. And thank you, Christ, our Savior, our Lord. And we bow also to you that you're our head, you're our CEO, you are running things right now, that we can be your hands and your feet and your mouth. And we're here to learn your word, or our Father's word, through you, in order that we may be walk in the same footsteps that you walked and shine forth that light. So through you we come to the Father, and we also supplicate that you open our eyes of our understanding in order that we may understand your scripture in more light than we ever have. And through you we come to our Heavenly Father. Amen. Well, this particular session will be called The Age of the Sacred Secret. Why that's very important is we really can't understand scriptures from Genesis to Revelation unless we understand about two things that cause people problems. One is not knowing the age of the sacred secret, and the second thing is not understanding or rightly applying the Gospel of John. You must know these two things, or otherwise you're going to have confusion and never come to the full knowledge that's there to set us free. So think of our word, the Word of Yahweh, as a puzzle in many aspects. All right. So what we got to do is put the pieces together correctly and know some key parts. And if we don't put those in there correctly, the rest of the puzzle is not going to fit together. This particular session will not deal with the Gospel of John. That will be lesson number 11. But this session will deal with the age of the sacred secret. All right, what's interesting about this age, or really magnificent about this age? The age of the sacred secret, which was in age past times kept silent, that's Romans 16:25, which in other generations had not been made known unto the sons of men, that's Ephesians 3:5, which had been hidden away from the ages and from generations, Colossians 1:26. So one thing we must understand is there's a period of time that was not recorded in the Gospels. It was not recorded in the Old Testament. It's not recorded in the book of James or Hebrews or Revelation. So in order to understand these books, we must understand what is this age and why is it not recorded in these books. This age is called the Age of the Sacred Secret. Now, if you kind of do a little review, we'll first and foremost go back to the 10 ages. Now, I'll repeat the 10 ages. The first age of Adam and Eve, then the age of Cain, then the age of Noah, the age of Abram and Sarah, the age of Moses, the age of Yahushua, the age of the Christ, the sacred secret, which is one we're talking about, which in my opinion is the seventh age, the age of the beast, which comes after us, the age of Christ as king for 1,000 years, and then the age of Yahweh as king, which is the final age, which has no end. So we're talking about number seven, the age of the sacred secret, or the age of the Christ. The body of the Christ is composed of a unique individuals. It was never done before, and it's not done afterwards. It's composed of Hebrews and the nations, or all non-Hebrews. It's the naos. The body of the Christ is the naos, or the shrine of Yahweh. It is sealed with Ruach, which is spirit. Christ is in it, in us, the body of his body, the hope of the glory, and it's not present. This whole age of the sacred secret is not present in the Old Testament. It's not in the Gospels. It's not in James, Hebrews, or the book of Revelation, and possibly 1 Peter also. So those books were designed for the Hebrews, or the followers of Yahweh. Our present age was hidden away in Yahweh. Even Christ didn't know about this age. And to give you an example of how this is so crucial to understand Scripture, If you don't understand this principle, you're going to be putting yourself in books that you shouldn't be putting yourself into, and confusion will reign. But let's just show you how this is done. Then we're going to start at Luke chapter 4, verse 16 to 21. And open your Rotherhams, and we'll be reading out of it. And he, or Yahushua, came unto Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and entered, according to his custom, on the Sabbath day, into the synagogue, and he stood up to read. And there was handed to him a scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and unfolding the scroll, he found the place where it was written, "The Ruach of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to tell glad tidings unto the destitute. He hath sent me forth to proclaim to captives a release, and to the blind a recovery of sight, and to send away the crushed with a release, to proclaim the welcome year of the Lord." And folding up the scroll, he handed it to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were intently fixed upon him, and he began to say to them, "This day is fulfilled this scripture in your ears." We're going to read what he read, and it's Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 and 2. So if we go to that book, we're going to see what he actually read from the scroll. And this reads, "And the Ruach of Adonai Yahweh is upon me, because Yahweh had anointed me to tell good things to the oppressed, has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim to captives liberty, to them who are bound the opening of the prison, to proclaim the year of acceptance of Yahweh." And that's where he stopped reading. But Isaiah keeps reading on, comma, "and the day of avenging of our Elohim." Well, in Luke 4, 16 to 21, he did not read, "and the day of avenging of our Elohim," because he said to them, "This day is this fulfilled in your ears." Well, the day of avenging of our Elohim was not fulfilled, but the year of acceptance of Yahweh was. Now, we're going to see in this verse 2 that there's a comma behind the year of acceptance of Yahweh. That is our age we're presently living in, that comma. All right, it's in between the year of acceptance of Yahweh and the day of avenging of our Elohim. And that particular comma has lasted 2,000 years so far. The verse 2 in Isaiah 61, verse 2, is very important, because he was there to proclaim the year of acceptance of Yahweh, a period of times where people would accept Yahweh, and then there's going to be a period of time where people will not accept Yahweh, and that is the day of avenging of our Elohim. Well, we know in this particular time frame, in the year of acceptance, was also a promise from Joel about pouring out the Ruach, right, which occurred on the day of Pentecost, and most people will teach that the Christian church started on the day of Pentecost, which is in Acts 2, which is not correct according to the scriptures, which we'll correct. We will find out the actual, you know, sacred secret, or the Christian church, which is composed of Hebrews and non-Hebrews, actually began in Acts chapter 10 and not in Acts chapter 2. So we must understand that distinction. And we're going to see about the pouring out of Ruach, which is in Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And I will read that. "And it shall come to pass afterwards, I will pour out my Ruach upon all flesh." And this is Yahweh. "And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Moreover, also upon the servants and upon the handmaid in those days will I pour out my Ruach, and I will set forth wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and column of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awful day of Yahweh. And it shall come to pass, whosoever shall call on the name of Yahweh shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be a delivered remnant, just as Yahweh has said, and among the survivors whom Yahweh doth call. So we see here in Joel that the pouring out of Ruach upon Hebrew believers, all right, and was supposed to occur, which occurred in Acts chapter 2. All those who believed, who had received the Ruach on that day, were Hebrews. A Gentile wasn't present any place. You know, it might have been a proselyte, but no uncircumcised individual. So we'll say the non-Hebrew is an uncircumcised, was present that day. All right? And so we find out what was supposed to happen next is the day of Yahweh was coming. And just as it said in Joel, where I will set forth in the heavens and the earth blood and fire and columns of smoke, and the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood, which is the day of Yahweh, which is the record is written in the book of Revelation in full. Yahushua knew about Joel 2:28, and he knew about the pouring out of Ruach, and he expresses that in Luke chapter 24, verse 44 to 49. And he said unto them, these are my words which I spake unto you yet being with you, that all the things that are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and Psalms concerning me must needs be fulfilled. Then opened he their mind to understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and arise from among the dead on the third day, and that repentance for remission of sins should be proclaimed upon his name unto all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Ye are a witness of these things, and lo, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. That promise is Ruach being poured out. But tarry ye in the city until you be clothed from on high with power. So what is Ruach? Ruach is power, the invisible force that was poured out on the day of Pentecost. So if we go to Acts chapter 2, that is what happened. This was not a secret or a sacred secret. It was just it was recorded in Joel and throughout the rest of the word. So we're going to read Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was filling up the number of days, they were all together with one intent, when there came suddenly out of heaven a sound just as of a mighty rushing breath. That word should be, instead of wind, should be translated breath, which is translated in the other position. And it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them parting asunder tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each one of them. And remember, fire is a symbol of Yahweh. So the cloud of fire is a symbol of Yahweh's presence. And they were all filled with holy Ruach, and began to be speaking with other kinds of tongues, just as the Ruach was given unto them to be sounding forth. This is the pouring out of Ruach as prophesied in Joel chapter 2, verse 28, which will be confirmed in, we'll read 15 of chapter 2 through 21. And here's Peter, for not as ye suppose are these men drunken, for it is the third hour of the day. Let me just express here too. Let's kind of stop. Acts, there is no author. Alright, so whoever wrote Acts, I mean, with the author is Yahweh, there is nobody ascribed to him who wrote this book. And so people are going to say, Luke, there's no place to say such a thing. And the books that state otherwise are really damaging our Father's word. So we got to remember the important thing is who the author is. Yahweh is the author. Who he wrote it down, who cares? All right. But here we'll start back at 15. For not as ye suppose are these men drunken, for it is the third hour of the day. But this is that which hath been spoken through the prophet Joel. Well, here he just says it. This is that. What did this come about? It's from the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last day, says Yahweh, I will pour out my ruach upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men vision shall see, and your elders in dreams shall dream, and even upon my men servant and upon my maid servants. In those days will I pour out my ruach, and they shall prophesy, and I will set forth wonders in the heaven above. And we're seeing here what follows the outpouring of ruach, which is the day of Yahweh. In verse 19, and I will set forth wonders in the heaven above and signs upon the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the day of Yahweh, the great and manifest day. And it shall be, whosoever shall call upon the name of Yahweh shall be saved. Now we know the sun has not turned into darkness and the moon into blood. So it's been 2,000 years since this was recorded. So we have to understand what has happened. You know, he said this was coming to pass, but it didn't. So what happens, and I think E.W. Bollinger gave the best explanation, which I will share with you. His conclusion is, and we'll go ahead and express that, but his conclusion was that, and which we'll show the scriptures, that the Hebrews were supposed to repent. All right, and that's where it says it, you know, in Isaiah 61. Let me just go back through there again. Let's see right here, verse 2, to proclaim the year of acceptance of Yahweh and the day of avenging of our Elohim. Well, we're going to find out, he's going to say the Hebrews did not accept Yahweh in masses that they could have, which means that this time period was held in abeyance. The coming of the day of Yahweh was held in abeyance, and the age of the sacred secret came. And so it's that question, I mean, it is the comma behind the year of acceptance of Yahweh. So the day of avenging of our Elohim, or the day of Yahweh, will come, but what was not known was that Israel would not repent, which we're going to see in the book of Acts. So the day of Yahweh did not come, and instead our day of the sacred secret came. So we're going to go to Acts chapter 3, verse 19, to show you some of these things. And this is Peter writing to the, speaking to the Hebrews. Repent ye therefore, and turn unto the blotting out of your sins, to the end that in that case they may come seasons of refreshing from the face of the Lord, or Yahweh, and he may send forth him who hath been foreappointed for you, Christ Yahushua, unto whom indeed heavens must give welcome until the times of the due establishment of all things, of which Yahweh has spoken through the mouth of his holy age past prophets. So it looks like there's a promise here. It says, if you repent, then... He says, repent ye therefore and turn unto the blotting out of your sins, to the end that in that case there may come. So if you repent, what would happen is there may come seasons of refreshing from the face of Yahweh. And what's going to happen in this refreshing? That he may send forth him who had been foreappointed for you, Christ Yahushua. If they would have repented, Christ would have come back. And the day of revelation, or the day of the anger of our, the day of Yahweh would have come. But that did not happen. All right? And so we're going to now read 3:22 to 26. We carry on. Moses indeed said, a prophet unto you shall Yahweh Elohim raise up from among your brethren like unto me. Unto him shall you hearken, respecting all things whatsoever he shall speak unto you. And it shall be every soul whatsoever which shall not hearken unto that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. But indeed all the prophets from Samuel and those following after, as many as have spoken, have even announced these days. And that's also show you that this is not the day of the sacred secret, the beginning of the church, because this particular age was hidden in Yahweh until revealed to the Apostle Paul. And verse 25 says, ye are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which Yahweh covenanted unto your fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall be blessed all the families of the ground. Unto you first Yahweh hath raised up his servant, hath sent him forth ready to bless you when you are turning away each one from your wickedness. But as we know, as a whole, the nation of Israel did not do that. So what Bollinger suggests is that the age of the sacred secret began, which we will demonstrate, because Israel did not repent. And this is very interesting, because what we're going to see is Christ, or Yahushua, will, after he was resurrected, was expecting to come back very shortly, which we're going to see. In that case, that would have been the day of Revelation, which would have meant there was no need for to write any of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the church epistles, even the book of Revelations, because it would have just been gained. It automatically taken effect the day Yahweh began, as recorded in Isaiah and every place else. So, the Hebrews did not change direction, and that's what repent means, to change direction. So, a secret age, which no one knew of, began at the house of Cornelius, a non-Hebrew. Yahweh, what we're going to find out with the sacred secret, Yahweh cleansed the common and unclean, which is us. So, we're going to go to Acts chapter 10, verse 27. And then this is an event that nobody saw coming in any form. And 10:27, and this is a vision that Peter was given on the housetop, and conversing with him, it went up, and findeth many come together, and said unto them, you will know how, this is Peter talking to the house of Cornelius. And conversing with him, Cornelius, he went in, and five many come together and said unto them, ye will know how unlawful it is for a Jew or Judean to be joining himself or coming in unto one of another race. So this is just a fact. One thing we've got to realize, we as non-Hebrews are completely oblivious to this. The Hebrews, according to Yahweh, were not to have anything to do with us, non-Hebrews. So we were not in the Gospels anywhere. You know, Christ would have not come to us. All right, he went to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And Peter didn't go either. If the church would have began on the day of Pentecost, that means that there would have been Gentiles receiving Ruach pouring out. Christ didn't, you know, Yahushua, before he left, didn't tell people that was going to happen. Christ didn't know it was going to happen. He knew the Hebrews were going to receive Ruach, but he knew nothing of Gentiles or non-Hebrews. This would have been completely a shock to Peter, because he, you know, this is about, supposedly, about 8 years later, and it was, Peter was completely off guard until he got the revelation on the housetop. But I'll start back at verse 27 again. And conversing with Cornelius, he went in and findeth many come together, and he said unto them, ye well know how unlawful it is for a Jew to be joining himself or coming in unto one of another race. And yet unto me hath Yahweh pointed out that I should be calling no man common or clean. This is completely new revelation that was hidden. One thing I forgot to mention to you, articles you should be reading that will cover this teaching is, in Volume 1 on page 83, The Christian Church Did Not Begin on the Day of Pentecost. Also read on Volume 1, page 383, The Great Sacred Secret. There we'll go into a great, lot greater detail. Now we go to Acts 10, verse 44 and through 46. And when Peter was yet speaking the words, the Holy Ruach fell upon all who were hearing the word. And the faithful of the circumcision who had come with Peter, that means everybody else was uncircumcised, who had come with Peter were amazed in that upon the nations also the free gift of the Holy Ruach had been poured out. So this is the second point out. The first one was to the Hebrews. To the best of our understanding, they did not turn and change their ways where the day of Yahweh would come in. So Yahweh put another period of time in, which is our day, which began at the house of Cornelius, the nations. We are part of the nations. And we received an outpouring on that day. For they heard them speaking with tongues and magnifying Yahweh. That is the beginning of the church age, not Acts chapter 2. This is the age of the sacred secret. The sacred secret is the word mysterion, which is Strong's number 3466. It has 27 usages, and it remains a religious secret. Why we say sacred secret? Because there is another Greek word that is translated secret, and it is the word kratos, which is where you in secret in your closet pray. And that is Strong Numbers 29:27. Well, this word means hidden or concealed. While mysterion is different. It's more than just hiding and concealing. But it is associated with a religious secret. In the Greek culture, it was confined only to the initiated ones. And we'll show you a little example about that, which is very interesting. That's Philippians 4:12, and usage of the word mus, which comes from mysterion. Mysterion is also where we get the word mystery, but the word mystery has changed its meaning in our culture, meaning something that you can never understand. That's not what the word means. This is a sacred secret that once revealed, is everybody knows about. So we're going to see how this is used, the initiated one in Philippians 4:12. And it reads, I know what it is even to be kept low, and I know what it is to have more than enough. In every way, in all things, have I been let or initiated into the secret. And that's the word mus, initiated into the secret. Mysterio is also a derivative from muth, M-U-O, which means to shut the mouth. And so obviously if it's a secret, you're supposed to shut your mouth. So this is a little explanation about the Greek culture written in the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament in Volume 4, page 804. Integral to the concept of the secrets is the fact that those who wish to take part in their celebration must undergo initiation. The uninitiated are denied both access to the secret actions and knowledge of them. We're going to see a good illustration of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And in chapter 1, verse 10 through 13. But I beseech you, brethren, through the name of our Lord Yahushua Mashiach, that the same thing you all be saying, that there be not among you divisions, but that you be fitly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been signified to me concerning you, my brethren, by them who are of the household of Chloe, that there are strifes among you. Now I mean this, that each one of you is saying, I indeed am of Paul, but I of Apollos, but I of Cephas, but I of Christ. And that really shows you today, you know, I'm a Lutheran or I'm a Baptist or I'm a Presbyterian, the same situation. Verse 13, the Christ is divided. Was Paul crucified for you? or into the name of Paul were you immersed? All right, that's in chapter 1. Now we're going to look at chapter 3, verse 1 through 2. I, therefore, brethren, have not been able to speak unto you as unto men of the Ruach, but as unto men of the flesh, as unto babes in Christ. With milk have I fed you, not with meat, for not yet have you been able. Nay, not even now are you able. So we're going to see chapter 2 is where we're going to next, but it's sandwiched in between 1 and 3, which is going to show you some things. So we start at chapter 2, verse 1. But these were babes in Christ, because they're fighting. All right? Chapter 2, verse 1, we should be the ones initiated into the sacred secret. We don't care about denominations. You know, our head is Christ, and that's it. And here's one other illustration. So if a person says, you know, many times people are followers of men, and they can be a follower of Kenneth Copeland or Kenneth Hagin or the Pope or Luther. And if you can ask somebody, and if they say, I'm a Lutheran, they say, are you a follower of Luther? No. Then tell me some place where you disagree with Luther. And this will tell you a lot. The same way with Hagin or Copeland or Joyce Myers. Are you a follower of theirs? And if they say no, then tell me a place where you disagree with their teaching. And that should determine if they say, I don't know any place that disagree, then obviously they're disciples of those individuals instead of disciples of the Word. All right. But now we go to 2 verse 1. I therefore, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of discourse or wisdom, declaring unto you the mystery of Yahweh. That's not mysterion. That could be witness. For I have not determined to know anything among you save Yahushua Christ and him as one who had been crucified. He can't get into the sacred secret. He's just because these people are so petty, fighting all the time. I therefore, in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, came to be with you, and my discourse and what I proclaimed were not in suasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of Ruach, that is to say, power, in order that your faith might not be in men's wisdom, but in Yahweh's power. Wisdom, however, we do speak among the full grown, and that's what we attain to be, the full grown, the telulos. Wisdom, indeed, not of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are come to naught, but we speak Yahweh's wisdom in a sacred secret, a mysterion. That hidden wisdom, which Yahweh marked out beforehand, before the ages, for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age had come to know. Why? It was a sacred secret. For had they known, not in that case, the Lord of glory would they have crucified. So that shows you that they were not initiated into the sacred secret, which is where we're going. So let us just read what the sacred secret is, or the mysterion, and that's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 through 12. This information is not going to be in the Gospels, it's not going to be in the Old Testament, it's not going to be in Revelation, and it's not going to be in the book of Hebrews or James. Those are all written to Hebrews. Chapter 3, verse 1. And how we know James is written to Hebrews? Let me just show you an example right here. Find out who it is addressed to. All right, and this is a little ad lib. Right here, James, it says James 1. James, a servant of Yahweh and the Lord Yahushua Christ, unto the 12 tribes that are in the dispersion. Well, who are the 12 tribes? Those are Hebrews. We can learn from James, but that's not to us. It's not written to us. And you look in the book of Hebrews, you're going to see Hebrew quotes, and that salvation in the book of Hebrews is by works and not by grace. That's also the book of Revelation. Salvation is not by grace. It is by works. It is earned. Now we go to Ephesians 3, verse 1 through 12, on what is the sacred secret. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Yahushua, on behalf of you, the nations, if at least you have heard of the administration of the favor of Yahweh, which has been given unto me, how that by way of revelation was made known unto me, what? The sacred secret, the mysterion, even as I wrote before wrote in brief. Respecting which you can by reading perceive my discernment in the sacred secret of the Christ, which in other generations had not been made known unto the sons of men, as it hath now been revealed by his holy apostles and prophets in Ruach. That, and here's what the secret is, that they who are of the nations should be joint heirs and a joint body and joint partakers of the promise in Christ Yahushua through means of the glad message. Well, that's exactly what appeared to have happened on Acts chapter 10. Of which I was made a minister according to the free gift of the favor of Yahweh, which was given unto me according to the energy of his power. Unto me, the least of all saints, was given this favor, unto the nations to announce the glad message of the untraceable riches of the Christ. This was not never known before. And to bring to light what is the administration of the sacred secret, which had been hidden away from the ages in Yahweh, who did all things create, in order that now unto the principalities and unto the authorities in the heavenlies might he make known, they didn't know about the sacred secret either, through means of the assembly, the manifold wisdom of Yahweh. We're living in a time where people get to see the sacred secret in action. According to the plan of the ages, which he made in the anointed Yahushua our Lord, in whom we have our freedom of speech and introduction with assurance through the faith of him. Continuation is in Colossians 1:24 about this sacred secret. What is the riches of the glory of the sacred secret? But in verse 24 of Colossians chapter 1, now, am I rejoicing in your suffering on your behalf and in filling up the things that lack of the tribulation of the Christ in my flesh in behalf of his body, which is the assembly. One other thing, too, in the church epistles, you always see Christ and not Yahushua. It's always Christ, Yahushua, not always, but in majority of all the cases, of which I have become minister, and Christ means anointed one. Verse 25, of which I have become minister according to the administration of Yahweh, which have been given unto me to you were to fill up the word of Yahweh. The sacred secret, which had been hidden away from the ages and from the generations, but now hath been made manifest unto his saints, unto whom Yahweh hath been pleased to make known what is the glorious wealth of this sacred secret among the nations. What is the glorious wealth of this sacred secret? Which is Christ in you, the hope of the glory. Christ was not in the apostles on the day of Pentecost, because that was part of the sacred secret. It came in later. Whom we are declaring and admonishing every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, in order that we may present every man complete in Christ, the anointed one, unto which I am even toiling, contending according to his God, the energy, which is energizing itself in me with power. Continuing in chapter 2, for I desire you to know that how a great contest I am having in behalf of you and of those in Lycia, and as many have not seen my face in the flesh, in order that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in Ahab, for love unto all the riches of the full assurance of their understanding, unto a personal knowledge of the sacred secret of Yahweh, Christ. What is the sacred secret of Yahweh? Christ. And that's everything from Christ from the head down to his toes, which is us. In whom, the sacred secret, which is Christ, are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge hidden away. That is the sacred secret. Why is this so important in understanding the word of Yahweh? Very important. In the Old Testament, Gospel, and Revelation, there are only two resurrections. Let's go to Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 through 2. And at that time will Michael the great ruler, who standeth For the sons of thy people make a stand, and there will be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation unto that time. That's the day of Yahweh. And at that time shall thy people be delivered, every one found written in the book. And many of the sleepers in the dusty ground shall awake, these to age abiding life, but those to reproach and age abiding abhorrence. So there are two resurrections, which we're going to see. They're called the righteous and the unrighteous, or the just and the just. Daniel talks about two resurrections. Let's go to John 5, verse 29. And you'll see Yahushua, which is a Hebrew, saying the same thing. In verse 29, and it came to pass. Well, let me just do it in 28. Do not be marveling at this, because there cometh an hour in which all they in the tomb shall hearken unto the voice and shall come forth. They the good things have done unto a resurrection of life, and they who the corrupt things have practiced unto a resurrection of judgment. So we're going to see a pattern here. It's the resurrection, whether it's one to life or one to destruction, is based upon what? It's based upon works. Right, which is completely contrary to our particular age. Now we go into, which we will see in Ephesians and Titus. But let's go to Revelation, which is a Hebrew book also. Chapter 20, verse 4. About the two resurrections. And we always find out the resurrection is after the day, the two resurrections are after the day of Yahweh. Chapter 20, verse 4 through 6, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and sentence of judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them who had been beheaded because of the witness of Yahushua, and because of the word of Yahweh, and such as had not done homage unto the wild beast, or unto his image, or had received the mark upon their forehead, or upon their hand, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The rest, and that's the first resurrection, the rest of the dead lived not until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Happy and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Upon them the second death has no authority, but they shall be priests of Yahweh and of the Christ, and shall reign with him for the 1,000 years. Works again. And let's look at verse 11 through 15. And there was a great, this is the second resurrection. And I saw a great white throne, and him that was sitting thereon, from whose face fled the earth and heaven, and place was not found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things written in the books according to their what? Works. And the sea gave up the dead, and that were in it, and the dead and Sheol gave up the dead, and there was in them, and they were judged, each one according to their what? Works. And death and Sheol were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone was not found in the book of life written, he was cast into the lake of fire. Well, we see one pattern here. These all are only two resurrections. They're all after the day of Yahweh, and it's all based on works. Well, that is not agreeing with our books in the seven church epistles. Why? Because these books do not know about the age of the sacred secret, our age. And we're going to see right that in, we are that comma in Isaiah 61. Our age is not by works, and that's Ephesians 3:8. So, we are safe and secure. We're in a very blessed time because we're in a very special time. And so Ephesians 3:8 says, "For by his favor have you been saved through means of faith, and this hath come to pass, not from you, of Yahweh the free gift, not from works, lest anyone should boast. His, in fact, we are, his workmanship, created in Christ Yahushua upon a footing of good works, which Yahweh prepared beforehand that therein we might walk." It's also confirmed in Titus 3:5. We are in the age of the sacred secret. These other books are not aware of. We are one body, and not a bride and a bridegroom. Christ is our head and not our husband. The bride and the bridegroom are always associated with Hebrews or Israel and Christ. Christ is in us the hope of the glory. That is our special time. The secret information not recorded in the Old Testament. So here's another bit of information, and that's in 1 Corinthians 15. Which, in order to understand that, we must understand that this information is not recorded in these books. Chapter 15, verse 51. Lo, a sacred secret unto you do I declare. Here's another sacred secret. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed. This was never known before, because the only people who are going to be in this particular period are us, when Christ comes back before the day of the tribulation, before the day of Yahweh. In a moment, because it says we will not, we will avoid the anger of Yahweh, just like Noah avoided the anger of Yahweh. And so did the rest of the people. I'll start back at 51. Lo, a sacred secret unto you do I declare. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, during the last trumpet, for it shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. This is not that those resurrection in the other books. And we shall be changed. Well, that means there's other people who are being raised who are not being changed. These people are going to heaven temporarily, while the people on the earth never go to heaven. You know, as we see, they come up from the dusty ground and they're on the earth in the new thousand-year kingdom, or they're going to be thrown into the lake of fire. We're the only people who are temporarily going to be taken to heaven. This is no different than Noah. You know, when Noah, when judgment was about ready to come, Noah temporarily left the land for his and lived upon the water. That was not his home. It was a temporary abode. But then he came back to the land. We will temporarily live in the heavens with Christ and Yahweh and all the other families of Yahweh. All right, and come back to earth and then live with Christ. So just as Noah was upon the water temporarily but came back to the land, so we will temporarily be in the heavens and come back to the new earth. So it says in verse 53, for this corruptible will needs clothe itself with incorruptibility, and this mortal clothe itself with immortality. But whensoever this mortal shall clothe itself with immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death has not been swallowed victoriously. Where, O death, is thy victory? Where, O death, is thy sting? This applies to us. The other resurrections do not apply to us because we're not part of that Hebrew class of the resurrection of the just, but we're in a sacred secret time period. The seven church epistles are the books written to us. We must exclude ourselves from reading of ourselves in the gospel. I mean, in the Gospels, in the book of the Old Testament, in the book of James, in the book of Hebrews, in the book of Revelations. If we do not do that and realize that we're in a time period that they knew nothing about, all right, then we're going to confuse ourselves, which means then we're going to have to become Hebrew. Then we're going to have to save ourselves according to works. So we got to remember, in Christ, when they came to Yahushua in the gospel, they said, Master, how may I receive life, age, abiding? And what did he tell them? Do the commandments. Honor thy father and thy mother, etc., etc., etc. It was all by works. The gospel salvation is by works. The book of Revelation is even worse, and it says, if you do not continue until death, all right, you will not be saved. All right? And so we must understand these things. In the book of Hebrews, it's the same way. In chapter 6 and chapter 10, it will talk about you losing, or those particular individuals losing salvation. So we must stay in our seven church epistles in the age of the sacred secret where we belong, and realize these other books are for our learning, but we are not to put ourselves, we are not Hebrew, we are not part of the 144,000 in the book of Revelation. We do not go through the tribulation, because we as everybody else who was judged by Yahweh, the righteous were taken out before they were judged. Now, let's just say there's a Hebrew right now, and there's a non-nation. Both of them reject Yahweh as we know him. So when Christ comes back, we've accepted him as our Lord. We'll be gathered together. We'll be taken up and be with Christ. But that Hebrew and Gentile or non-Hebrew who have rejected Christ will be back here on earth. They're not coming up. They have a chance now to make Yahushua their Lord. If they refuse to, they'll be in the last resurrection. If they choose to, they're going to go through tribulation because they rejected the Lord. They rejected Yahushua before he came, and now they've got one last second chance to bow down to Yahushua, and it's going to be tough because, as you can see, but the book of Yahweh, I mean, the book of Revelation, a good illustration is reading the book by E.W. Bollinger on the book of Revelation, and he will specifically show you that it is written to the Hebrews. It talks about synagogues of Satan's, the 12 tribes. It's a completely Hebrew book. Now, we'll go ahead and close out. We've been running a little bit long, so we won't read a psalm tonight. So we'll just go ahead and do a prayer. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for opening our eyes, and thank you for just knowing, rightly dividing your word, that we can make sense of it and be able to teach other people. So our purpose is to proclaim your word, to set the captives free. So our job is to teach faithful men, and who shall teach others also. So there's a lot of error that's being passed around, all right, and we're here to correct that error. And we know you, that's a blessing to you, so we thank you, Father, through our Lord. We thank you, Mashiach Yahushua Christ Jesus, that you are our head, and you gave your life for us, and at least we can live for you. So today we claim that we will be obedient regardless of the consequences of man, the fear or the praise of man, to be obedient to your guiding. And through you we come to the Father. Amen. We'll see you on the other side.